My name is Marie McMillan. My date of birth is 10th of the 9th, 1943. I lived in Blackburn. I was the only one. My mother and father worked at mill. My mother was a weaver, then a winder, and my dad were a cloth worker. I think I was brought up okay, you know, no problems. I hated it. Hated school. I weren't right good at anything, and I weren't one for asking questions. If I didn't understand them, I'd just sit there quietly, not say anything. And if any questions come up and I knew them, I kept myself quiet. I wouldn't answer them. And then when somebody else answered, I said, "Oh, I didn't know that." You know, that would have coming forward really at school. We were expected to go to work, and the crew's people come round and ask you what you wanted to do and try to get in a job that suited you. And my mother didn't want me to go in mill because there were two people, my mum and dad were working at mill, and they said it's not good having all your eggs in one basket sort of thing. So I got a job at Mullard's in Blackburn doing assembly for televisions. I was 15 when I left school. I only remember giving it my mother as part of, you know, instead of boarding, like a lot of people boarded then, I just give it my mother. My mother used to give me spending money. But I can't remember what I got, no idea. I think when I come to think of it, I think I got more or less near as much as my mother got in the mill. But at that place, if you did a certain number, you were expected to carry on doing that number. So if you'd like got so many over, like 100 over, and then you put that to the next day, obviously you were 100 more. And they came and said, "Oh, well, you can do this every day." Well, I couldn't, because I wouldn't have a spare 100, you see. So I just carried on the same level, wage level. But they did hassle you to keep working order, you know. Well, I must have been there about 6 months, 6 or 7 months, and I quite enjoyed it. But I keep being hassled to make more money. I got on with people round and about. I've met some good friends. I still see them and I still speak to them now. I go out for lunch together and make a meal at night in a pub, and we have a good natter, you know. And just, they were just two friends that I really got. My friends, I really got them, you know. So, but other than that, they were a bit standoffish, a lot of them. Oh, well, I met my husband in 1959, and I went working. Well, his mother worked at Northrop in Blackburn, and obviously it was more money than what I was getting, even as a 16. So I went there because I weren't happy at Mullard's, and I went there and I started in the foundry making cores, and he made the cores to fit the looms when they did Northrop looms, for weaving and winding and things like that. You got it like a mould, a steel mould, and you got some sand, and you saw it sand out like oiling, and you like threw it in and patted it down like when you make it like a sand pie, and then just put it out on a tray and put your tray on the conveyor belt, and it moved up and it went into the oven to harden up. Just ladies did it. I was working away one day, this gentleman come up and said, "All out, all out." "Oh, what have we gone out for?" Anyway, it seems that one of Moulders had done something that he shouldn't have done, and we all went out. But weren't suited about it, but if you pay your money and you're in the union, you've got to do what, well, you have to do what they say. It's not as strong as these days in trade unions, is it? I don't think there is a trade union today. I had another one when you had to reckon your wages up in fractions, and as I said, I weren't I took scholar at school. If I couldn't do it, I just didn't want to do it. And I got my wage slip one day. Oh, my mother-in-law learnt me one dinner time how to write my wage up in fractions. And I learnt it because I was getting money and I needed to know. And then shortly after I got my wage slip, and it was wrong. So I went up to office and I told them it was wrong. And she didn't agree with me, so she brought the trade union in. And he said, well, write it up again. So, because she was saying it was right, she wasn't it wrong. Anyway, she did write me up again, and it was right what I said. So, trade union just went then. She was defeated. She went wrong. So, I don't think he liked me working. I think he wanted me to stop at home, really. But I was never brought up to stop at home. I was brought up to work and to bring some money into the house, because my mother had always worked, so obviously you think you still have to work, you know. So he didn't like going into the house on his own. Many times he went home at lunchtime and I went there, so he turned around and went in the cafe for his dinner, you know, as far as I know. But like as I said, I was always used to having to work, so I did it. Well, he gave me so much towards the household, so the bills and food, and I just when we were ready for getting married, I just seen what my mother had in a shopping list and reckoned it up and said, well, we need so much for that, and this electric and gas, and written everything down on a piece of paper, and he gave me that, but that doesn't work out, because what you spend on writing it down, you spend more when you go shopping. So we had a few arguments and that, but I got through it. I got my own way, I got my own money. I just put my money into the household. I come from Blackburn originally, so I used to go to my mother and dad's every Saturday, and I needed to work, and somebody had heard of a lady that did childminding. So I went to see her, and she said, yes, you will mind it. So that meant I had to come from Stanley, where I lived, over on the bus, got off the bus, and then I had to walk like a mile and a half to childminders, to give them child, and then at night I had to go back to childminders and then walk another mile and a half, get on the bus and buzz it back to where I lived. So I'd like done a day's work before I started, really. And then when I couldn't have my second daughter, my second child, it wasn't worth giving the child money for what money I got, because I went on a right big wage. A bit time you'd spent it on household groceries and that, it were, you'd nothing left. So I stopped at home then. Then 3.5 years later, I had another child. And after that, I had a friend. We lived in a village, and we had this friend. And she went. We got a job at packing at a toy wholesaler's, and she worked at morning, and I worked at afternoon looking after each other's children. Oh, I'm assuming they're about 3 or 4 years before her and her husband split up. So she had to go working full time. So that's when I finished. Because I couldn't work with anybody else on that scheme. So I finished as well. Well, I just didn't get a job then. I went all over looking for jobs, but none seemed to come available. And then I got divorced. And then I met this gentleman that had his own business. And wanted to go away on holiday a lot, and I did get a job at Riz Wires, I wanted to go away a lot, and they didn't like it, you know. So he said, "Well, if we're going to go away, you better come and work for me." So I went working for him, doing a bit of office work, and then if lads wanted any stuff, go to wholesalers, get the stuff, and then take it to where they were working. And then he died, so obviously I carried on working there a little bit, and then I went to another firm, a packing firm, and I went working there at night on like housewife shift. And then that got a bit too much, working during the day, then working at night, well, 10 o'clock. So I got a job, full-time job at a mill doing leasing. And that we had to put a thread through this material for the weavers to weave it. And I was there until that closed down. And then I got myself a job at in a toy wholesalers and like shop, doing shop work until I retired. I think my mother said, just keep your stamp on, and it seemed to like stick in my mind, so I always paid the full stamp. Although you got a smaller wage, but my husband like helped me, because he were a motor mechanic and he had his own business, so I were all right there. I used to put his stamps on because he was self-employed, and I just paid full stamp. And I seem to recollect my mum saying, "Well, you've got to pay your stamp, sort of thing." So I was driving somewhere and I had a flat tyre, so I weren't changing it myself. So I went to a garage and, "Excuse me, can you change my tyre, please?" And they went out, changed it, and give them whatever they want, £2.50. I give them money and away I went, and they changed my tyre, and I weren't getting down changing no tyre at my age. I think I would have gone in the army, one of the forces. With being on my own, being just a single child, I think that would have more or less brought me out, and I think I'd have joined up. Don't know how long it would have lasted, but I think I'd have joined up and gone it for us and had a bit of a green, a bit more of a pension and things like that. Although I haven't got a bad pension, but compared to other people, and I haven't had to put any money in pension pot because my pension was there. So that were. I think I'd have joined army because my husband's auntie was in the army, and she used to say things that they got up to and how good it were, and I think I might have chose that. Well, one of my uncles, my mother's brothers, he'd been in Burma during the war, and there was almost like a photograph of him with his uniform on, but it never occurred to me. I think as I got older and thought about it, I thought, if I'd have had the chance, I might have jumped for army. But I didn't think about it when I was 15. I just wanted to go to work, you know, like any job I'd do, sort of thing, you know, but that's about it. At the moment, she were right with my pension, you know. I didn't lose my pension. And I think she gave me some good advice, really.